The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Tracy Carroll is with me now, though. And some listeners will recognise Tracy because we have spoken to her several times over the last couple of years, Tracy, I guess it is. Mostly in the context of your daughter, Willow, who's with you here in studio, and around access to schooling and the supports that would be available for her to attend school. But kind of separate, or obviously connected, but separate to that, you've had this legal case with the HSE that was born of Willow's birth. So you might tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind, kind of bring us back several years to when this happened.
So we settled back in October. So it was a case that was kind of progressing over 7 years. So after Willow's birth in intensive care, there was points of negligence. So Willow's birth was done by emergency section. I was 38 weeks pregnant. I had reduced movement. I presented to the hospital that day, obviously concerned. So it ended up leading to an emergency section. I had placenta abruption. So Willow would have been born with mild cerebral palsy. But unfortunately, the care in intensive care for Willow was found to be negligent. And there was a few points in her care that led to her having a really traumatic brain injury. And in the aftermath of it all, being sent home to die when she was 4 days old. So there was a lot of deep diving over several years. And I'll be honest with you, I have no recollection of her birth until I was told I was going to have to testify. And it was very much that fight or flight. I didn't want to have to recollect. I remember in her birth really detaching myself emotionally from what was happening, because as you can imagine, you go into hospital expecting to have a really healthy baby and you think this will never happen to me. And we found ourselves in that place and brought her home at 4 days old to pass away. So it was very, I actually don't even know how to describe it, because I often, you know, think of just being buried under a cloud. And as I said, we're like really detached emotionally from it. It's just a head down and just trying to get on and keep her alive.
Well, and if you don't mind me asking, I mean, what are the instructions, or what do they say to you when they send you home after 4 days? Or what are they sending you home with?
We were sent home with a planned funeral and a coffin chosen. And when we came home, we were met by Felicon, which are amazing, with a cooling cot, because we were told that we'd have to bring Willow back for an autopsy. We left, Willow was born in Cavan and she was sent to the Rotunda Hospital the morning after her birth, and I was left in Cavan Hospital because I had a section, so I hadn't even held my child at that point. And she was taken away and I was left in the hospital for several hours and then brought back up. We were told that she was being sent for observation, so I didn't really understand the gravity of the situation. So she was born on the Thursday night, and then the Saturday morning we were sat down, we were told that she wouldn't survive, and if she did, she would be incredibly disabled and basically in a vegetative state, and it was better off to let her go. I still hadn't held her, and we were told to call our family to say goodbye. They hadn't even said hello. And the first time I got to hold Willow was when they turned off her life support and she stopped breathing and turned purple. And I remember hearing crying in the background and not realising it was me, like screaming, and like I was just, it's just really, I don't know. It was just kind of looking from the outside in. And then in typical Willow style, she took a breath and kept going. So we spent another couple of nights in the hospital. And it was John that decided to take her home. I didn't want to bring her home because I just didn't want my child to pass away in our home. And we were told we probably wouldn't make it to Blanchardstown, that she wouldn't live that long. So sitting in the back of the car, just hand on her chest, just watching her to see was she breathing. And then we came home, and as I said, we had the cooling cot in the house waiting for our baby to die and to bring her back.
And how long does that last, where you're waiting for that to happen before you start to think, hold on, maybe this isn't going to happen?
I always had a really weird feeling that, you know, this wasn't the case. I remember walking the floors the night before we brought her home. And John was asleep on the bed in the room and holding her. And I think it was the first time I just really kind of let go, and I was like really crying very hard. And I just begged her to stay. And I just said, whatever we have to face, we'll take it on. And I just, let me be your mum. And I almost feel like we made a pact there and then. So there was a DNR on Willow and ambulance instructions that she had to be brought back to the rotunda, and there was a do not resus. And she kind of just kept rallying around. And at 2 weeks old, and we reduced her medication. She was on morphine. And then when she was just over 2 weeks old, I started to breastfeed her, which I was told not to do because she didn't have a gag suck or, you know, any reflexes to manage it. And kind of from that point on, we didn't look back. And she was born on the 1st of December. And then on the 23rd of December, we got the results of her MRI. And again, it was just another death sentence. They were really bad. And her DNR was put back on her again. The Christmas was horrendous. But just as the weeks went on, she really started to just kind of, you know, hold her space. And we just kind of moved in time without really thinking about it. Now, it was horrendous. Like, I was really, like, locked in this deep sense of grief that I wasn't aware I was grieving. She's laughing at me now. And there was days where I just wanted it to be all over. And then in an instant, you'd be terrified that it would be over. So it's a very difficult space to navigate. You don't know whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. But
yeah, because I was going to ask it. This, on the face of it, is an awful question. And I'd only ask it because I think you know where I'm coming from with it. But when the doctors say she'd be in such a vegetative state, you're better off to let her go. Was there ever a time you on some level might have agreed with that?
I just felt like we didn't have a choice, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I felt like I had no voice in it. I remember saying to the neurologist who was assessing Willow, he said, watch the monitors during the night. You know, they were looking for activity, brain activity. And I was with her all the night on the Friday night, and I was watching the monitors and there was activity. And I said it to him and he said, yeah, I'm sure, you know, you think that, but it's probably just because you were touching her. Like, in the aftermath, I thought, what difference did it make to him in that time to say to me, yeah, you're right? Like, why did he have to take away any bit of joy we had? And they were just so against, you know, anything that we said that we really just didn't feel like we had a choice. And, you know, I had worked in the disability sector and I knew, you know, the life that you could give your child. And yet we were just terrified and we just felt like we had no choice in that time.
When did you learn or realise that mistakes had been made post-birth?
I actually really believed everything I was told and I blamed myself, and the amount of the sense of guilt was just horrendous. Like, it really was. It was consuming. And it was a friend of mine who was a parent who lost her child in Port Leash Hospital said to me, Tracy, you need to look into this. And I said, no, it's my fault, you know, and I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to look at it. And she pursued it and she put me in contact with patient advocacy. And from then on, we looked into it. And straight away, then there was questions when the files were received. And we went from thinking that, you know, this was nobody's fault to being really angry and needing answers. It was actually only the day that we settled that I actually found out, you know, the real events that occurred and could kind of come to some understanding of what had happened.
Is that worse? Is it worse to know that this didn't need to have happened, or worse to have been blaming yourself?
I suppose, you know, over time, like, Willow is Willow, and, you know, she holds her space in this world, and, like, I've done amazing work through her, and I never want to discredit her life or, you know, the value that we have in our home, because it's a really happy home and we've helped other people along the way and we do a huge amount of advocacy. So I don't hold any anger or regrets. What I wish and what I am going to push for and change is that there is accountability, because this continuously happens. And there's obviously over the media over the last few weeks, there's so many cases of this in different hospitals and nothing's changing.
Mm.
Like, we have a maternity service that is not safe. And parents are going into hospital and I kind of feel like it's potluck, who you get in the day or what happens on the day. And the people that were there when Willow was born are gone. So where's someone sitting down, you know, and going through the incidents that occurred and the mistakes that were made and learning from it? This is just going to continuously happen again.
Yeah.
And we have no adequate audit trails within the maternity service. It's 19 maternity hospitals and they're supposed to publish monthly maternity patient safety statements. In January, one hospital published theirs. So where's the audit trail? Where's the, you know, clinic and incidence reports, the major obstetric events recorded. So how are they going to learn from this? Yeah. And this is what I want to see change. I don't need an apology. And I don't want anyone to hold guilt for this. And I'm not looking for someone to lose their job. But I want change. And I want to see a place where a mother can go into a hospital and know that she's going to get the best outcome.
Yeah. I know... HSE, I guess, are not unique in this regard. It's the institutional reaction, isn't it? That
it's closed,
circle the wagons. Instead of kind of, you'll never have a health system populated by people where mistakes are not made. People make mistakes.
Exactly, that's the nature of life.
And exactly. And you know that, and everybody, and with any sense, knows that. But it's when the mistake is made, it's like, oh, how do we protect ourselves here? Mm. It's the kind of the instinct as opposed to, oh, how do we learn from that now so we don't do that again?
There was even part of our file, there was a page that was written on the end of it by a nurse, found this on a shelf, I've replaced it in the file, where there were 7 failed attempts to intubate Willow, and that was taken out of our file. You know, when you hear these things, you think people are trying to protect themselves rather than protecting the health service. They're in this job for the patient.
Mm.
And if they can't learn from mistakes, how are they going to be a better, you know, medic for the next patient? And this closing ranks and no transparency and no accountability is not going to serve anybody.
Mm.
You know, and we're seeing this over and over again. There were 1,612 cases between 22 and 23, and a large proportion were preventable. And this was a report that was published. 612 babies in the space of a year.
Yeah. I don't know, like the HSE again, and you'll understand this. I mean, they can't be in the business of, you know, as soon as somebody makes a claim, you know, whatever the context, that you immediately settle, you know, because it invites litigation. But then at the same time, and I've spoken to people in your situation before, and what they say is, and it's an awful thing to say, but what they say is, on some level, they suspect that, and nobody might say this out loud, somebody might die before the longer this stretches out long enough,
and a death,
the person here will die, and that's
easier
because you're not dealing then with ongoing costs and the care into the future or anything like that. Much easier case.
Well, the way this was managed as well is it's done in an interim case because they only have Willow's life expectancy at 13. So, you know, where's the humanity in any of that? She wasn't supposed to live beyond 4 days, but you're just a name on a piece of paper. And the day we were in court where the judge approved the settlement, there was just one family after another in and out. And the amount of money that's wasted by the state's claim agency, rather than just when a child is born, if an event occurs that we, you know, there's mediation immediately and the family are supported there and then. And like, you know, the pressure on a family is intense. And you're having to relive this grief over and over again because you're having to go year on year on year digging for the files and then sit in front of someone and hear all of this again. I have never felt as bad as I did in my life the day that we sat in that mediation room and I was broken. And I'm not the type of person who's weak. And it was John actually said to me, Tracy, put on your business head. And it just kind of flipped me back out of it. But I sat curled in a ball holding Willow. It was horrendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrendous. And how they think that it's okay, you know, not to deal with these incidents by changing the system and having accountability, but to put families through this, like, it's disgusting.
And what about now that some time has passed? This is October. Willow had her 8th birthday in December.
Yeah, 1st of December, yeah. And we went to Lapland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it
great.
Was epic.
Was it?
Yeah, that was our celebration.
Ah, fair play.
Yeah.
Dead right. How are you coping with it all now? Is it a weight off your shoulders that part of it is dealt with?
When we settled, Grace Carroll was her solicitor, amazing person, McMahon and Goldrick, like, they were just fabulous. And it was really, we built a really lovely relationship. And she said to me, how do you feel? And I said, really guilty. And she says, what? And I said, I feel like I've been given money for nothing. And she says, what do you mean? And I said, well, the money's there for Willow's care, Tracy. And I said, I know, but my body failed her. She says, no, hang on a second. They've settled because there's a reason for settling.
Yeah.
And that guilt was with me for weeks. And I had this kind of survivor's guilt and I felt really ashamed. And Safer Births Ireland reach out and I kind of was reluctant to engage with them. And they're an amazing committee that are trying to fight for change in this. And eventually I kind of came to a place of peace. And then when I saw the hospital in Galway, all those reports, I just said, right, OK, now I want to be on board.
Yeah.
And, you know, use our story to help people going forward. So there is a sense of peace and there's a burden off us knowing that the case is closed and we can just get on and live as a family and give her the best, you know, supports and services and everything that she needs, basically. And also allow a bit more time for Noah.
Yeah. And that kind of life expectancy at 13 that they talk about, I assume, do you guys attach any weight to that?
There's always, you know, it's always there in the back of your mind every time Willow gets unwell. Like she's laughing at me very much. She has other ideas. It's always there. And even Noah would say it as well. Like, you know, what happens if, you know, Willow gets sick, Mom? And
yeah.
She's due to have surgery on her wrists. And Noah grilled the surgeon. He asked questions I'd never ask. And he says, what do you mean there's a risk here now? You telling me, you know, and for a little boy from the age of 2 to carry that weight all the way to 10, you know, it's... These are the stories that are not told. And these, you know, the grief piece is not shared. So I don't hold weight to what they say. I just kind of live in the day and just hope that we continue in good health and just kind of have a happy life going forward. She's a happy little girl. Yeah. Definitely holding her own.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks a million for sharing the story, Tracy, as
Thank
always.
You.
It's good to see you again. And good to see Willow as well. Tracy Carroll there.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.